This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
A smash caught by Kinsler. A line drive right back to the mound. Almost like there was a magnet in his glove.
Well, that's not legal. You can't be out there with glove magnets.
I don't think he actually had a glove magnet.
Okay, because they don't.
We should check, though.
We
should
probably should ask him. Because Brandon Kinsler is joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. The Bernstein and McKnight Show. Talking with one of our favorite guys. What's going on, Brandon? How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. If you did have a glove magnet, how would you hide it in the glove and where?
It's just called great hands, really. It's not just a glove magnet. I'm an amazing athlete, so.
Of course. What was I thinking?
No, I don't
Brandon,
know. I don't need a glove magnet.
Nah. But how in this day and age, in this MLB game, how does a sinker baller live? How do you know that it's more likely that that ball is going to be where the barrels are more often than not? When everybody's throwing high fastballs, how do you make sure that you don't put pitches in harm's way?
Well, one, you got to be really in tune with your mechanics, and you just kind of got to know everyone's strengths and their swings. Everyone's trying to hit the ball in the air, so they're swinging up. If I can make a ball go down, it's a round bat, round ball, and I'm willing to take my chances, but my main concern is I got to make sure the ball's down. And, you know, there's a lot of, along with my ball's heavy going down and their bats are trying to go up, I think the odds are in my favor.
Is there an element as a reliever who throws that kind of stuff where you can overthrow the sinker? I remember when Brandon Webb was doing his thing and Dan Heron was doing his thing, that they could get, early in the game, you could kind of get to them because they were throwing hard enough that the sinker wasn't kind of like taking that bite. Is that a factor for you when you come out of the bullpen?
100%. Sometimes when you're too fresh, you throw right through the sink. Sometimes when you're too tired, you have to overthrow, and the ball just doesn't spin right. You can't get the right extension. There's just a happy medium there, and you just got to really know what you're feeling like that day. Sometimes you're like, well, my sinker's probably going to be spinning too much, so I'm going to go with more changeups today, to at least make it look like a fastball, and hopefully it's 6 miles an hour slower.
Your changeup usage is way up, and at certain times in your career, you've had seasons where your changeup usage percentage has just been higher. What's the correlation there? Why is it some years, is it just feel? Is it just something that works for you in a given year, you stick with it?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes you feel really good with your mechanics. I think in 2011, I started coming out with a new changeup that I just loved, and I was getting a lot of strikeouts on. And then I lost that feel for that pitch for probably a couple of years, and I just didn't feel like I didn't have it. All I had was a fastball. And I don't know, was with new mechanics that Tommy gave me this spring training, I'm able to repeat, and it feels comfortable, the throw. I could throw the heck out of it. My arm speed's really good, and the action's really good. And the fact that I'm getting righties to swing over the top of it just makes me real confident. And it takes just the pressure off of my fastball. I don't have to be perfect with it. Because normally, you know, over the last couple of years, I was really, really fastball heavy. So obviously in the scouting reports, everyone's going to look fastball. And if I could throw that changeup in that same spot, then, you know, I can get a lot of quick outs.
Talk with Cubs reliever Brandon Kinsler here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You mentioned, Brandon, the new mechanics that you're working with. Tell me about the back and forth between you and Tommy Hotovy over the offseason to get your mechanics where they are now.
Well, he wanted to – I knew he was coming to town for the winter meetings. And we had a good relationship when I first got here last year. Obviously, I was looking to talk to anybody that was willing to listen to me. So he was in the computer room, so he might as well listen to me. And then when I congratulated him and got the job, and I said, well, if you want, I'll be playing catch if you're out in the winter meetings. He said, yeah, I'll come out there. And I didn't think he was serious. So, you know, he just came out to get in my environment, my natural environment, see what I was like and, you know, how I play catch and how I move as an athlete. You know, I think he had pretty good ideas. And then we show up to spring training. He's like, no, I saw how you're playing catch, you know, at that soccer field that one day. This is my kind of idea how I think would work for you. And I wasn't really on board with it at first because it was pretty uncomfortable. But then I just had a, I was having a frustrating spring training and I was just over it. I was over searching. And then he's like, well, why don't we just try this? And I was like, you know, I'll do whatever. And then the next, that next outing, I think I gained like 3 inches of sink and I couldn't really control it yet. So we, next outing, it just kept getting better and better, and I felt really confident with it. And then I didn't have to think about it anymore. I was just really aggressive, and finally I had to think about mechanics, and, you know, I've just been running with it ever since.
Is it common for a pitching coach to come search out a guy like that?
I think he knew that, you know, I was an all-star, and there was a lot of potential, and I can help. And he was, you know, I think he had good ideas last year, but it wasn't his job to bring him up, you know. And I think he just saw something, and the fact that he was willing to seek out, you know, obviously I'm going to be here anyways. He might as well try to help me. So,
we've been told, per a Mark Gonzalez report, the Cubs' first road trip theme this season is going to be basketball. So after Sunday, when you leave for Houston, there are going to be basketball jerseys. Which one did you get, or do you are you preparing to wear?
I got Jason Williams. I'm going to be white chocolate. You know, I figured... Cishek knows that I could outball him. So long as he, I wanted to wear white chocolate.
and will how short will the shorts be?
I don't know. I told him to order me short shorts, and I didn't get any shorts. So either I'm gonna have to go with baggy style, old school way, like Jason Williams, or I'm gonna be wearing some ridiculously short shorts. We gotta show.
See,
the quads.
I figured you for a short shorts guy. You gotta show off the quads, my man. There's work done there.
The jersey's so big, though.
You could do cutoffs.
I could. We do have. Yeah. We're gonna have tearaway pants. That's gonna be interesting.
Like and one tearaway pants. I go real '90s.
Yeah,
it?
I think Nike sent them to us. So that would be fun.
My theory is all pants are tearaway if you pull hard enough.
You want it bad.
That right. is true.
It's a matter of want to at that point. So you mentioned Cishek. Now that you've been here a while, is that your guy?
Yeah, we were throwing partners and. He takes the crap that I like to talk to him, so we have a good relationship. It's kind of like me and Doolittle in Washington. We were pretty good buddies, but talked a lot of crap back and forth. It helps a day go by. I mean, every day is so repetitive. You got to talk crap to somebody. So me and him just give
Doolittle
it back and forth.
Balking? Is Doolittle balking?
No, he's not balking.
Okay. I mean, the whole thing kind of seems ridiculous. I'm on Doolittle's side of it, that everybody... Everybody he brought up, Carl Edwards, Kenley Jansen, I think he mentioned a third or fourth name in there, that it should all be legal. Is that where you guys are mostly at as pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's on. I mean, you could quick pitch, you can do anything with nobody on. I mean, why not if you need a toe tap or whatever? I mean, I could see Joe's side. Joe, you know, they made Carl Edwards change his delivery, and they made another guy in Seattle change it, and if their closer's out there and he's doing the same thing, why not make him try change it up, see what happens? But obviously it didn't work at the time, but I mean, I could see Joe's side of that.
We were reading a piece earlier before the show, we're going to get into it a bit later at 5:38, about just how nasty MLB curves and sliders have become, and just how many pitches have become self-invented and coached and created because of the cameras, because of technology, because of what you can see under the measurement of spin rate, all the Edgertronic, Rapsodo, Kinetrax, all of it. Have you thought about, outside of just your changeup and stuff that Hadavi might notice, of really getting in the lab and maximizing some of this stuff, or are you already doing it?
I think for me, I'm just the old school way. I'm more about feel, and I feel like the hitters will let me know. Sometimes when I have a really good low spin rate on a sinker, I'll look at it and I'm like, I don't like the movement on that. It doesn't look good. And then all of a sudden I'll throw a kind of a high spin rate sinker and I have really good movement. But it's all my extension. If my extension numbers are good, and that's why Tommy changed my mechanics, because my extension numbers were short and my release height was too high. So obviously my arm slight was too high. So for me, I can't really go invent the wheel for me. It's too late. I can't, like, my pitches are my pitches. It's just a matter of my arm, my body being in the right slot. I think guys that throw 98 and they throw those high four-seamers and, you know, if they can spin the ball like that and they can go look at cameras and figure out new ways, then more power to them. But for me, I think that's just, I missed that boat.
Are there new tricks, though, to be learned in and how you read hitters? I don't know if you remember this, Brandon, but we were out at the Budweiser Brickhouse. It was the two of us and Cole Hamels, you, and Jesse Chavez.
Yeah, that's right. What he said. Somebody thought he was Cole Hamels' cousin.
Yeah, right. That was an unfortunate mistake by some Cubs fans there. I didn't want to have to make Brandon revisit that, but I guess. Anyway,
put me in the will. It's all good.
Well, that'll work out. Anyway, Chavez is talking about how he reads hitters and guys' feet and guys' swings, and that dictated the next pitch for him as much as anything else. That seems so old school, but so right. I wonder if there are new ways that you've learned how to read hitters, like new innovations in what they're doing and how to read them.
No, I mean, I learned old school way too. Read hitter swings. Read it as the at-bat's going on. The hitter will tell you. My best scouting report here is I get to watch Hendricks throw against the lineup the whole game, and he'll tell me how I can get guys out, really. Because he could backdoor sinkers, and he goes in, and he does the changeup, so he's telling me the whole time. I go looking past history that I have with hitters, but the swing path of a hitter will let you know everything. I don't think there's any other special way of reading a guy. His swing is his swing. He can only hit certain kinds of pitches.
So during a game, Hendricks, or is it after a given at bat? Is it when he comes back to the dugout? How does that communication with Hendricks occur?
No, I'm just watching him the whole time. Every time he starts, I'm watching everything he's doing, and it shows me the whole time. That's why I'm trying to tell our bullpen guys. We have three left-handed starters. If our left-handed relievers can watch how these left-handed starters get guys out, they're telling you for six innings how you can get this guy out. I mean, it's a really – you might as well. It's just it's an easy lesson to learn as a young guy and then just take advantage of it. Lefties these days that come in for one lefty, you get to sit around all day and – a left-handed starter is going to show you for 3 hours how to get the guy out, so this should be to your advantage.
Brandon, I know you came here last season, but it's kind of a weird question. It's been in the back of my mind for a while. Are the relievers for the Cubs set now? Are you comfortable now being in a bullpen that's kind of closed off from the rest of the world? It seems still strange to me to not see guys warming up live and kind of on the field, or even like in a bullpen where you can see into it like you can in a lot of other parks.
Yeah, it was different when I first got here last year. It was different warming up. Even when we first got here for the season, when you're playing catch in there, it was like, man, this is just weird. I think Wick said that yesterday, playing catch. It is different, but, you know, sometimes you get on the road and the bullpens and everyone's just bugging you the whole time. You're just like, man, I wish we could just disappear. So it is to our advantage at some point. And you can have great conversations and they're not being interrupted. So I think even though no one gets to see us, but for the bullpen-wise, it is a great advantage for us.
Have you ever had a teammate just say, like, dude, stop talking to me? Like, because, yeah, some guys, I mean, because I
think C6 says that every day.
See, because I'm like you are, that whether, you know, you're sitting at, you know, your kid's game or you're waiting, it just, generally, I'm more comfortable if I'm talking to somebody, yes. And it's just kind of the way people are wired. And I've had people say, yeah, like, could you like, go over there for a while?
Well, no one tells me that, but we'll tell some fans that if we're on the road sometimes, like, can you just leave us alone, please? But I think C-Shack gets annoyed at me every day, but, you know, he's a good sport.
Brandon, awesome talking with you, man. Appreciate the time. Best of luck next time out.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is the always affable Brandon Kinsler of the Chicago Cubs joining us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.